Oh, yeah, we've got Bucks and Brewers fever, and it is high time to talk about this incredible moment in Milwaukee pro sports. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we are at the onset of the NBA playoffs, and we have this rising superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo. The New York Times calls him the face and chief culture setter in the Bucks transformation. He's a front runner this year for league MVP. Meanwhile, recall the Brewers are fresh off their first division title since 2011. They were just that one heartbreaking loss shy of the World Series last year. And there's this outfielder, Christian Yelich, who's providing just as he did in 2018, just more good stuff. Are you watching this moment? What is your level of excitement? Are you a diehard fan or just hopping on the bandwagon? We're at 800-642-1234. ESPN writer Bradford Doolittle covers baseball. He recently wrote about Milwaukee's superstars in baseball and basketball. Bradford, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm well. So is it rare for a smaller franchise market like Milwaukee to have superstars in baseball and basketball at the same time?
Well, it is fairly rare, especially the baseball side of it, because the economics of the sport tend to be tilted towards the bigger markets, and that usually manifests in the superstars in the league going to New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, and the fact that Milwaukee has two players at the pinnacle of their sport at the same time is rare for a small market, and it's rare for Milwaukee.
So you wrote about visiting Milwaukee recently. What was your sense of how fans are responding?
Well, there's a lot of enthusiasm. It wasn't an average random day that I was there. It was the Brewers' opening day at Miller Park, and it was also that night the Bucks had a game against the Los Angeles Clippers. So there was a lot of activity around downtown, and I'm based in Chicago. I've been going to Milwaukee for work for a number of years, back when I used to cover the NBA primarily, and now it's baseball. And I always noticed that when you would see sports fans out and about, and Wisconsin is a huge sports state, Milwaukee a very big sports town, but the Green Bay Packers tended to dominate what you would see people representing as far as merchandise and attire and jackets and stocking caps. And in this particular trip, I barely saw any evidence of the Green Bay Packers, but I saw Brewers and Bucks merchandise everywhere. And Miller Park was a beehive of activity when I was there during the day. And then I got downtown, and it was just as active down around the new arena that the Bucks are playing in and all around downtown. So it was really a scene that's much different than I've witnessed in the years that I've been going up there.
Some curious thing you wrote about, a person wearing a Packers jersey with the number 34 on it. What struck you there?
Well, as I said, I couldn't help but notice just how many people were walking around in Brewers and Bucks merchandise. And it's especially stark when it comes to the Bucks, because I remember going up there just on an average January weekend once a few years ago and checking into my hotel downtown. And I was in town to work on a story about what, I can't recall which team it was, but it was the team that the Bucks were playing, not on the Bucks. But the young woman at the desk asked me what I was in town for. And I said, well, I'm here for the Bucks game. And she looked at me as if I, had a second head. She didn't quite understand what I was talking about. And she said, oh, yes, the basketball team, but it didn't really clarify it. So, and I remember then that was, the Packers may have still been playing in the playoffs at the time, but there was a lot of Packers fans around downtown. And on this, I'm looking around, purposely keeping my eyes out, just seeing people who are taking advantage of just the general sports enthusiasm to wear their Packers gear, and I didn't see any. Well, and then over near that Wisconsin Hall of Fame that they have along the street with the plaques outdoors, I saw one guy wearing a Packers jersey, and I thought, well, there's a Packers fan. And it was number 34, and I don't know who wears that number on the Packers. And he turned around, and it was a Greek Freak on the back. It was a jersey that he adapted to Giannis that just happened to be the Packers colors.
Well, riddle me this, because the Packers, they haven't reached the playoffs for a few years. And has the Packs, let's just call it descent, slight descent, factored into the rise of the Brewers and the Bucks in any way in terms of popularity?
I would say it's just a happy coincidence. I think there's plenty of room on the sports scene for everybody. You know, the Packers are one of the traditionally one of the most well-run franchises in their sport. And, you know, everything is cyclical and they haven't had the best couple of years, but they still have one of the premier players in sports and most recognizable faces in Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, was at the Bucks game last night. You know, it's not that they've pushed the Bucks and Brewers have pushed the Packers out of the limelight. It's just for the time being, the Packers have kind of retreated to the side. You know, if the Packers have a bounce back season and make a run at a Super Bowl, I'm sure the fever pitch for them will grow just as loud as it ever has.
Talking with Bradford Doolittle, he's an ESPN writer covering baseball, recently wrote about Milwaukee's dual success in baseball and basketball. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you follow the Bucks, the Brewers, both? Do you feel this fever pitch moment in Milwaukee? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mary now joining us from Viola. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I love the Brewers, and I've always loved baseball. I loved the Braves when I was a kid growing up in Milwaukee. Sister Damien used to load us up from St. Mary's grade school, and we had three school buses, and we went to the opener game. And we sat in the bleachers. It was a day off from school. But I love Orlando Arcia and Christian Yelich and Travis Shaw and the closer pitcher, I can't think of his name, Ryan Braun, Bob Uecker and Jeff Levering. All those guys are just awesome. Craig Counsell, I love listening to Craig, whether they've won or lost a game. You know, he's so calm and...
Well, it sounds like, Mary, you love the whole experience. You're embracing
it. I do. One of my sons has played baseball through high school, and he's a farmer now. Like, I was a farmer out here for, almost all my adult life. So I haven't ever watched. I've watched the Brewers a little bit on TV, but I don't have pay TV out here, so... It's my little plug-in radio, and I can listen and keep doing what I'm doing. So,
well, Mary, thank you for calling in. Brad, look at that love.
Yeah, and I can personally identify with Mary's story. I grew up on a farm in Iowa, and we did not have access to cable television when I was younger. We eventually got one of those UFO-sized satellite dishes when I was a teenager, but I fell in love with baseball by listening on AM radio, the Kansas City Royals. And I also fell in love with the NBA, having to pick up signals from these faraway cities on my AM radio and go to different parts of the house to pick it up. So, you know, it's a very similar thing in Wisconsin. And it's great to hear that the game means that much to her.
We're talking about the Bucks and Brewers, good at the same time, and what to make of this moment. Brad Doolittle is an ESPN writer covering baseball. He recently wrote about Milwaukee's dual success in baseball and basketball. You can join in 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about Giannis Antetokounmpo? What do you want to know about Christian Yelich? Are we witnessing a new era in Wisconsin pro sports? And if you're a longtime fan of one of these franchises, what's changed for you? Are these rising stars the stuff of greatness, legends in the making? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about this remarkable moment in pro sports, sizing up the potential of the Bucks and Brewers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. ESPN's Bradford Doolittle is tallying up some comparisons, and he points out that rarely have the Brewers and Bucks been in lockstep, that is, good at the same time, Last year was the first calendar year in which both teams made the playoffs since it happened in back-to-back seasons in 81-82. Were you a fan of the Bucks or Brewers way back when? How sweet is this moment now? What would a championship season mean for you, to fellow fans, to Milwaukee and Wisconsin? The sports world at large. Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. ESPN writer Brad Doolittle stays with us. Brad, we haven't given too much love here to Giannis. What should we know about him? What makes him a difficult opponent for other teams?
Well, he is nearly 7 foot tall, so that is one problem. Of course, there are a lot of players who are that tall in the NBA, but they tend to be of a couple of different types. Either they will play, primarily defense for a team, and then on the other end they'll roll to the basket after pick and roll plays and rebound, or maybe like the Bucks center Brook Lopez does, they may spot up around the 3-point line and take set jump shots. Giannis is a 7-footer in body, but he is a point guard in mind, meaning that he handles the ball, he creates plays for his teammates, and he does that not just in a way that's unusual for a 7-footer. It would be unusual if he was 6'3", if he had the prototypical point guard's body. He's just that fluid in the way that he moves and the way that he attacks the game. But at the same time, on the defensive end, because of his size and his athleticism and quickness in moving side to side, he is one of the few, if not the only, player who can legitimately guard probably every other player in the league. And it's the combination of all of those skills on both ends of the court that truly makes him possibly the best all-around player in the NBA right now, and certainly one of the most gifted and as the front runner for this year's MVP award.
You covered the NBA during his early seasons. What was he like back then? You actually captured him saying he wanted to become more like Kobe Bryant. Is he there yet? Kobe won 5 championships.
Well, he's not there in terms of team success, but obviously he's on the right track with the Bucks finishing this regular season with the best record in the NBA, currently leading their first-round series against the Detroit Pistons 2-0, and they won both of those games in dominating fashion. You know, winning a championship in the NBA is always difficult, and it's going to be a long road for them. But if the Bucks won this year's title, it would certainly be no surprise. So he would have one under his belt. He's a different kind of player than Kobe. Kobe was a guy who did play both ends of the floor, but he didn't have the versatility to guard the array of opponents that Giannis can. But on offense, Kobe was one of the great shot makers of all time, and Giannis doesn't quite have that shot-making ability in his game yet. But, if you're going to set your sights on becoming a certain kind of player, Kobe Bryant is definitely the kind of guy that you like to target.
Let's go back to the phones now with Simon in Sauk with some thoughts. Hi, Simon.
Hi there. Brad, I'd just like to kind of get your take on, have you ever seen two sports that are in the same city where we've had elder statesmen kind of running the show with Doug Melvin and John Hammond kind of transition to young, new leadership and the transformation be so immediate? I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, the transition to the younger, more analytically minded executive, that's a trend that's going on across all sports, including football, including hockey. And it's been going on for a few years. And the ownership groups in Milwaukee were definitely part of that wave in selecting the people to run their teams that they have. Now, the Bucks transition began with the drafting of Giannis, and Giannis was not a top 10 pick. I think he went at number 13 the year that the Bucks drafted him. And the general manager at the time was John Hammond, and he's more of an old school, traditional scouting type of an executive, a wonderful man, and did a great job during his time running the Bucks. before he gave way to the group that they have now. And then David Stearns, who runs the front office of the Brewers, he's kind of a maverick in that the model for remaking a baseball franchise at the moment is if you kind of have to go down to go back up. In other words, you want to strip down payroll. You want to acquire as many young players and prospects as you can, and you're going to lose a lot of games for a few years while you go through that process. Well, he didn't quite strip down to nothing. The Brewers had a couple of off years, but that was it. He managed to remake the organization from top to bottom while remaining competitive at the same time, and he's proven that you can do that without limiting the ceiling of your program. So the Brewers came up one game from the World Series last year. They're a team that looks capable of getting back to that stage or even further this year. And they've done it without really putting their fans through the really arduous wait to, you know, watch 100 losses a year for 4 or 5 years.
So, meanwhile, these franchises are getting a whole lot more profitable, more lucrative.
Well, certainly. I mean, the Bucks, one thing to remember about them is at the time that they drafted Giannis a few years ago, there was a lot of talk that the Bucks were going to leave. I think everybody sort of assumed that they would be the next professional basketball team in Seattle, Washington. And since they were acquired by the ownership group led by Mark Lazary and Wes Edens, they have invested in the organization. They've got the new arena built. They've got the economic development that's going on around the new arena. And they've really cemented the future of the Bucks as a franchise. It's going to be in Milwaukee for a long time. And like I said, a few years ago, I went up there. There were a lot of empty seats, and there was just a lack of awareness that the Bucks were even there. And now it's very much sort of reclaimed its place in the Milwaukee sports culture.
Well, let's shift our attention here to the Brewers and look at Christian Yelich for a moment, voted the National League's MVP last year. What's in Yelich, and what is he likely to do for us this year?
Well, he's shown every sign of being even better than he was last year. He's off to a tremendous start. He's got 9 home runs and 24 RBIs, and it's a start that the Bucks or the Brewers have needed because they have a lot of injuries with their pitching staff, and they've kind of struggled in that area. One thing that's common between Yelich and Giannis is that they are both guys who you can kind of count on reaching whatever the maximum production they're going to get from their potential because they have tremendous work ethic. They have a lot of awareness about their own strengths and weaknesses and are very methodical about going about improving the areas where they're not as good. And so even though Yelich, he's 27 years old, that tends to be kind of the peak age for an offensive player in baseball. But he just has shown a propensity to keep getting better and better. So I would say that as long as he's with the Brewers, you can sort of count on this kind of a player.
How long can we expect to see him in a Brewers uniform? When does his contract expire?
Well, he's got a very friendly contract from a team standpoint. The last year on it is a team option for the 2022 season. So it's 3 more years after this one. At any point within that window, the Brewers can approach him about signing an extension to that. When this contract is up, Yelich will be 30 years old, and the trend of baseball right now is to not give massive long-term contracts to players once they get to the age of 30 and beyond. I can kind of see Yelich being considered a special case, both because of how good he is and because he's just become so embedded in Milwaukee and you know, he's a winning player. The fans embrace him. His teammates embrace him. And he really seems to love playing in a city that is so gaga over a sports team.
So,
that bodes well.
So do Antetokounmpo and Yelich know each other?
They do not. I spoke to them both, and they both talked admiringly about each other. And they both were aware that they've been in the same venue at the same time. Yelich attended a Bucks game during spring training when the Bucks were playing in Phoenix, and Giannis saw him up on the scoreboard and thought, well, who's that guy? that they're making such a big deal about, and then found out it was the MVP. And then it clicked in his mind. He's like, oh, yeah, I've been seeing his picture on billboards all over town. And so he kind of read up on him, about him a little bit. And for his part, Yelich said he had planned after that game to go back and introduce himself and say hello, but the Bucks lost the game. And he knows that after you lose, you might not necessarily be in the mood to meet anybody. And so he didn't go back there. So after I talked to Giannis, I went back to Yelich again the next day and I said, hey, we got to get you two together. This is crazy. You know, it's Milwaukee and, you know, you guys could be the MVPs at the same time. And there's a lot of opportunities there. And he says, yeah, we'll get together at some point, I'm sure. So
it would make a photo op for sure. Brad, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Bradford Doolittle is an ESPN writer. Up next, it's news. Then we'll speak with Governor Tony Evers' cabinet pick to oversee Wisconsin state prisons. Also, join us this morning at 8:30 for NPR News special coverage on details of the Mueller report. Attorney General William Barr will be holding a news conference. We're taking it live at 8:30 right here on the Ideas Network.